You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Jerry Jones. Oh, he's got a lot to say. Did he actually make things worse for his beleaguered coach yesterday? Meanwhile, the fallout continues from Kyler's contract, and it isn't pretty. Does this deal doom the Cardinals in the long term? And Tampa Tom's team has a brand new weapon. Can Julio recapture the magic and help lead the Bucks to the promised land? Those are the questions. Here come the answers. It's time for a Wednesday edition of Get Up on ESPN starting right now, and I've got exciting news. For the first time in over 2 years, Jeff Darlington's in the studio. For the first time ever, Heather Dinich is in the studio. How about that? Welcome. I like it. And we got lots more than that coming up. Mike Tannenbaum's gotten up early with us in Florida this morning. RG3 will be along. Ryan Clark in just a moment. Let's do it. Lots of football to get to, but we start with the game of the night here in New York City, Yankees-Mets. First of two. Game two will be tonight. Aaron Judge, top of one, no score. Oh, what a year he's having. That one is off Taijuan Walker. Judge's 38th of the season. He's on pace for 63. Yanks, a 1-0 lead, but wait, there's more. That's the next batter. Anthony Rizzo going oppo for his 23rd of the year. Yankees, a 2-0 lead. But bottom of one, Mets have already tied it at two. And this is Eduardo Escobar, and that is a rope to left. A two-run shot off Jordan Montgomery. Escobar's got a dozen. Mets, a 4-2 lead. Bottom of three, same score. Weird play. Francisco Lindor at the plate. Starling Marte's at second. Josh Donaldson at third. Watch the throw. It's right off the head of Lindor. And Marte is going to come all the way around to score. Take another look at this. The throw's not that far offline. But there's the bad luck, the costly error. Mets take a 5-2 lead. Top of nine. Yanks down 6-3. Two on, two out for Gleyber Torres. Facing Edwin Diaz. How good has he been? Four out save for Diaz last night. Struck out all four. And the Mets take game one of this series 6-3 again. Game two will be tonight here on ESPN. Mets have won six of the last eight against the Yankees. They've now reached 60 wins this year in just 97 games. That's the second fastest to 60 wins in team history, behind only the 86 season. That team went on to win 108 games and the World Series. To football next. The Cowboys will have their first practice today, and there's a lot to watch. Dak Prescott healthy as he enters season number 7. Last year, he bounced back from a devastating leg injury to throw 37 touchdown passes. What does he have in store without Amari Cooper, who's now in Cleveland? So C.D. Lamb will be Dak's top target. Last year, Lamb became the second receiver in Cowboy history to finish with 1,000 receiving yards before turning 23 years old. They're going to need to knock off the penalties. They were last in that last year, the team's most since 1990. Meanwhile, here was owner Jerry Jones yesterday on Mike McCarthy heading into this season.
I want to be real clear. He wouldn't be sitting here today if I didn't think he was the man to lead this team to a Super Bowl. He would not be, and I have choices. We need to be in the playoffs. We need to be viable in the playoffs to have be a successful season.
So those are cool glasses and a lot of pressure on the head coach. RC's up with us early this morning. Mike Tannenbaum, ready to go. But, Jeff, you said something to me earlier this morning when we were having this conversation about Mike McCarthy's much-discussed job situation.
Well, I asked you to close your eyes, and you didn't because you don't trust me in a room with your eyes closed, and I understand that. But I said close your eyes and just envision Sean Payton as the head coach of the Cowboys. We would be talking about them as a Super Bowl contender. This is absolutely a talented enough team to be just that. But when we think of Mike McCarthy as the head coach, do we feel that way? We don't. Certainly I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't still think that most people trust Mike McCarthy in big situations. So Jerry Jones can talk about the options that he potentially had on the table. By the way, try that on your spouse. Go home and say, hey, I had options, but I chose you. Right. It doesn't work. It's not a strong endorsement. I just think that this is a scenario where, look, I understand it. I appreciate what Jerry's saying, but there's no question in my mind of Sean Payton.
It's actually worse than that. Try saying to your spouse, I had options, and I actually kept them close by rather than letting them go marry somebody else. I kept them near and dear in case I need them at some point soon. So, RC, on a day in which let's give Jerry Jones the benefit of the doubt that he meant to make the situation better for Mike McCarthy, but do you think he actually did yesterday?
You know what? I don't think he actually did, because we're still talking about it. If Jerry Jones comes out and he gives Mike McCarthy a vote of confidence that says, I don't have any options. I burned the bridges. This is where we are with this team. Mike McCarthy is the man for the job, and he's proved it. We feel a different way. Now, Jerry ain't got to say nothing for us. Jerry can say what the hell he wants. I mean, he's Jerry Jones. He owns the most profitable sports organization in the world. But when we look at the options, when you say the word options, we start to think of your two coordinators. We obviously think of Sean Payton, and then we focus on the performance of Mike McCarthy. And I feel like that continues to get lost in this conversation. He actually hijacked the narrative. He said, you know what? I'm irritated about answering these questions when you talk about Mike McCarthy. I don't want that to be the first question I'm asked. So now we're talking about his response to the question. But what's most important is the reason we're answering the question. An undisciplined team. Terrible clock management, not understanding how to perform in critical game situations. Those are all head coach started things. And so in that, Mike McCarthy has to be better at his job. I know it. You know it. Mike McCarthy knows it. Jerry Jones knows it. And like you said about your spouse, you go home and you say, girl, I chose you. Boy, I chose you. And right now, I think you're the one. But I got options. And if you don't act right, them options will come into play.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Mike T, let's sort of take a step back on this for a minute, okay? Because Mike McCarthy is certainly not the only coach on a hot seat as this season begins. There are always a half a dozen changes that are made after every season. But when it's the Dallas Cowboys, when it's Jerry, when there's this much talent on the roster, it's magnified. There's a lot more attention on it. What does he, Mike McCarthy, need to be focused on right now?
Getting your team better day to day. And that sounds like a cliche, Greeny, but it's the penalties that is really the biggest indicator. Both RC and Jeff talked about those big moments. It's really about the everyday moments. Since he's been the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, they lead the league in penalties. That's plain, simple, and easy to quantify. Now, with that said, they are talented. They were third in the league last year in defensive efficiency, sixth in the league in offensive efficiency. They have great players up and down this roster on both sides of the ball. But they have to get off to a good start, which will be challenging given their schedule. And they have to come out of the gate playing clean football, meaning don't turn it over, don't penalize yourself. And if you're going to lose to the better team.
Yeah, and a little bit later in this hour, I'm going to explain to you why I don't think the division is the cakewalk it has been for them in recent memory either. Quickly, RC, as a player on that team, not sure if you've ever dealt with this. You probably have. When the coach's job status is constantly in conversation, does that impact the players?
You know what it does? My second year in the league, I played for the New York Giants. Nobody ever remembers that I actually played for the New York Giants first. And that was when Coach Fossil, God rest his soul, was being fired. And he came into the meetings and he would tell us, and we understood it. And everybody went into self-preservation mode. We are independent contractors. And we understand now you're playing for different reasons. Now you're playing for other coaches. Now you're playing for the film. And this is also a conversation we would have in the locker room. I don't believe that Mike McCarthy is to that point yet. But here's a conversation you do have. You have conversations about incompetent coaches. You have conversations about coaches you have to win in spite of. You have conversations about people or coaches or people in authority that you believe you can do a better job than if you had their job. I'm not saying these conversations are happening in Dallas, but they are happening in Baton Rouge. And so if one of them called me, we're going to talk about it.
Ryan Clark, awesome. Good to have everybody up with us early this morning. Much more from Dallas as we continue. But our next stop is Cleveland, where the Browns will have their first practice today under extraordinarily unusual circumstances, of course, as they still await a decision on a possible suspension for Deshaun Watson. And for much more on the situation, let's go live to Cleveland. Our own Kimberly Martin is there. Kmart, good morning. And you've been around this team so much in recent times. As they wait for this decision, how much of an impact is all of this having inside that locker room?
Greeny, good morning. You call this extraordinary times, right? Inside this building, it's pretty much status quo. It's going to rain a little bit later here in Berea, but I'm telling you, it is all sunshine in this building because Deshaun Watson is still their leader. He's still their QB1, regardless of what fans and media might think. They believe in this guy, and they can't wait for him to take the field. The question is, when will he take the field?
That's right. That's the question. And for how long? He may take the field today and then be taken off it again quite soon, right? So that is the question, is the plan. They know something is coming. We all know something is coming. So what is the plan at quarterback for this team?
The plan right now, Greeny, is just to work until they hear something. So they have Jacoby Brissett as their number two. There's a reason Jacoby Brissett is here. So Deshaun Watson, however many games he may be suspended, the team will wait and see. But when training camp starts today, they're going to take the field, and both of these quarterbacks are going to get a lot of work. The Browns understand Jacoby Brissett started 5 games last year. Deshaun Watson hasn't played in 2 years. So the two of them need a lot of work so that whenever they get on the field, they will be ready, and the Browns feel really good about the both of them.
No, then one thing we know for sure, when they get on the field, Kmart will be there to watch it and report back. We'll check in with you soon, and there's going to be news. We expect news out of there at some point. Again, we just have no way of knowing exactly when. Kimberly, thank you. All right, we're just getting rolling here this morning. As we continue, the fallout continues from Kyler's contract, and it's not pretty. Does this deal doom the Cardinals in the long term? We're talking about it. And then fly, Eagles, fly. I will tell you exactly why Jalen and the Eagles can win the NFC East over Dak and the boys. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and meanwhile on Planet Earth is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Hey, Ryan Clark, Mike Tannenbaum, what did we think of Aaron Rodgers showing up at the Con Air look working yesterday at training camp RC?
I loved it. Listen, when you're Aaron Rodgers and you got a lot of money and you sitting around, you just got your first tat on your forearm, you get bored. And so you think of ways to arrive to camp that are better than arriving in the office t-shirt from last year with speculations about your contract. So you come with the Nicolas Cage outfit, you got the Nicolas Cage hair, and you've been doing back and chest the whole summer. Might as well show it off.
What do you think, Mike T?
I'm curious. Yeah, I'm with RC. I'd love to know what Nicolas Cage thinks about this, though. That's really the person's opinion I'd like to hear.
Well, let's sort of do a little side-by-side. I mean, Aaron's much bigger than Nicolas Cage, right? I mean, he fills out the shirt better than Nicolas Cage does.
Aspers are tiny people.
Yeah, well, that's no. Right. So,
Nicolas Cage looks more like a kicker than he does a quarterback.
That's exactly right. And Aaron Rodgers actually looks a little more like a linebacker in that shot than he does, or a safety anyway, than he does. One way or the other, that's how he showed up yesterday. We'll see how it goes. Next stop, next quarterback, Arizona, Kyler Murray. Here we go. He recently signed a contract extension that includes an addendum that requires him to study film for 4 hours per week during the season in order to remain in compliance with the deal. It's got everybody in the whole league talking. Here's his own head coach, Cliff Kingsbury.
On the negotiations, honestly, my entire role in that was prayer and pleading to both parties, and it worked out really well for me. But that's, you know, that's negotiation side of it, and I handle the football side.
So at any point over these past 3 years, you really not studying coming
out? I have not. When I watch what he's done since he got here, all he's done is gotten dramatically better each and every year, and that's what I judge it by. And there's a handful of quarterbacks that you can win a Super Bowl with in this league, and we feel like he's one of them.
You know, rarely have I heard the kinds of conversations that we had yesterday and that I think the entire football world has been having. I mean, Jeff Darlington, you've been working the phones. What sorts of things have you been hearing?
I've not talked to anybody around the NFL who views this as normal. Let me share a text from you, actually.
Yeah.
From an NFL general manager who said, "We've never done that, nor would my owners want me to do that. It draws too much attention, and it's not worth the paper it's printed on with an arbitrator anyway." And I think that that's where a lot of people are coming from around the league, is like, why is this worth it? What does this actually accomplish? How does this make Kyler Murray better? Do you trust him enough to be your franchise quarterback or not? So this is definitely not a normal business practice, and not necessarily something that, if we're looking at the legal side of it, is probably even enforceable.
Yeah, Mike T, how about that side? And how about, I know you were eager to hear what Kingsbury would say yesterday. What'd you think?
Yeah, I was really surprised by what Coach Kingsbury said, because I don't think he's gotten better. I don't think it passes the eye test. When you look at somebody like Josh Allen, who took significant leaps to get to a superstar status, Kyler Murray, as the former first pick in the draft, just hasn't improved in the leaps and bounds that we've seen Josh Allen. And that's one of the big indices when you want to extend a young player. Is he getting better? And to Jeff's point, obviously, when you have any clause like this, it does go to arbitration, and you have no idea if it's enforceable. And one of the things that, after sleeping on it, Greeny, is, just as a reminder, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray have the same age. And so let's just say, hypothetically, 2 weeks into the season, they want to actually enforce this clause and put the guarantees in default, which is over $100 million. What does the agent do? Is he going to take the side of the club and Cliff Kingsbury? Is he going to represent his quarterback? I think this could lead to some really unusual dynamics within that building if they hit any bumps in the road during the season.
Before I come to you, I want you to hear what Heather has, because I know you made some phone calls yesterday as well. You spoke to someone who knows Kyler Murray very well.
Yeah. Former Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley might know him better than anyone, because he was his QB coach. He was his offensive coordinator. And he told me he's coached two types of great players. One who has to know every single minute detail in order to have that confidence on the field. And others who are more like Kyler, who tell me what I need to know and I'll go get the job done. And he said he's still learning. He's still preparing. But Lincoln told me, if I had to go play a game today at any level, and I gave him the playbook, I would have no doubt that he would be prepared. He said zero doubt.
All right. And, of course, Kyler Murray won the Heisman playing for Lincoln Riley. And, RC, I wanted you to hear that part in particular, because when he says something like, there are two kinds of players, some of them need to know absolutely everything, some of them just need to know what they need to know, does that ring true? When you hear that, RC, what do you think?
That is Hey, listen, that is 100% true. And it's based on their talent. It's based on the way they learn. It's based on the way that they process. Now, you get players like Troy Polamalu, who was exceedingly talented, who was born and who left the hospital with a lot more than the rest of us, who also wanted to know everything. But that was the way he prepared. And then I played with people who were great pass rushers who said, you know what? You tell me what to line up, I can figure out what to line up, and this dude across from me can't block me, no way, no how. What we're not used to is hearing this about quarterbacks, and that is why everyone is in such an uproar. I just think it's stupid in general. I too, Greeny, have had this same exact conversation that is in this addendum. I have said, you know what? For an hour tonight, you need to study. We're going to set a clock on my phone. We are going to sit at the kitchen counter and study for an hour. We're going to be on geometry. We're going to be on algebra, whatever topic it was. And during that time, you can't play with your phone. During that time, you also can't get on your Nintendo. But guess what? I was talking to a fifth grader, Greeny. I was not talking to a starting quarterback in the NFL who got $160 million guaranteed. And so if you are confident enough in Kyler Murray to give him $160 million guaranteed, why does this addendum need to be in his contract? My other thing is this. When you say or when you have a mandate like this, you are saying that even though he is the type of player that doesn't need to know everything and that can go out and perform at a level that makes him worth this contract, you want him to do more. My question would be, why does he need to do more? Do you feel he is unprepared on Sundays? Are there some things mentally that he doesn't pick up? Is there playbook issues? And if those are the issues that surround Kyler Murray's mandate, then I get it. If it's simply, we don't think you study enough, it's even stupider than I thought it was when I heard about it the first time.
Yeah, look, I mean, at the end of the day, the job of the quarterback is to be as prepared as he needs to be. And I suppose only they know that. But he knows that. By they, I mean all the people who are directly involved in this. But at some point, Mike T., this is like a professionalism clause, right? It's like basically saying, look, we don't think you're prepared all the time. There's a lack of trust involved. It betrays a lot of things, I think, and ultimately does not bode well.
Right. Although you could look at it differently, Greeny, and say this could be a win-win. First of all, it speaks to how talented Kyler Murray is that despite their concerns, they're giving him a massive, massive contract. Second in average per year if he plays out the length of the contract. So it actually speaks to what they hope and believe he can be and also says a lot about what the options are. And again, sitting in that seat for two different teams, it's really hard to acquire a franchise quarterback. Now, with that said, of course it's disappointing that they had to put in the contract, but maybe in 2 to 3 years, this turns out to be a positive where he understands the importance of taking preparation to another level. And obviously there's a big concern. That's why it's in there. So while it's unusual, it does create an opportunity for Kyler Murray to improve off the field. And if he improves off the field, maybe we'll see the improvement the way Buffalo saw the improvement in Josh Allen.
Darlington looks perplexed.
I just can't believe we're having this conversation. 4 hours a week?
Right. Yeah.
Like 4 hours a week. Ryan right. nailed it. That's a conversation you have with a sixth grader.
Right.
I don't get it. It's just not computing.
No. And that's why, to your point, no one around the league thinks it's normal. It isn't normal. None of us have ever heard of anything exactly like it before. It doesn't mean the whole thing is going to go badly, but it certainly doesn't feel like a relationship that is off to an ideal start. Meanwhile, we'll roll on from here. So much more as we continue around the National Football League. An enormous year coming for Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Just how big is it? Sal Palantonio will tell you what he needs to do to catch Dallas in the NFC East. Don't miss Sal Pal Live. Plus, we'll also go live to Tom Brady's first practice of the season. Will his new Hall of Fame target be a difference maker in Tampa? Those are the questions. We got the answers. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and Caesars Sports came out with their prop bets. Let's make a little game of more or less. We start with Lamar Jackson. RC, will Lamar have more or less than 175.5 rushing yards?
Listen, Lamar Jackson is going to have more than 175 rushing yards, and here's why. He's going to be thinking about playing this unnamed, anonymous, cowardly, weirdo DC that said he can never be top tier, even if he parts the Red Sea, even if he builds Noah's Ark, and somehow has a baby in the manger that becomes the savior of the world. Lamar Jackson is going to go crazy on everybody this year.
That was well played. Mike T, you're next. More or less 34.5 touchdown passes for Mahomes.
I'm going to go less, and he's going to have an outstanding year, but Tyreek Hill is Tyreek Hill, so there will be less production, and keep your eye on Ronald Jones. He will be productive out of the backfield, but I think they're going to have to run the ball a little bit more with him and Edwards-Helaire. A very good offense, just a little less passing touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Rojo, a sneaky, interesting fantasy play. Darlington, how about Jalen Hurts? More or less 22.5. touchdown passes.
I got to go less here, Greeny. He hasn't even had 22. He just had 22 exactly in two seasons. Last season, he had 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's got to be better. I haven't gotten the sense this offseason that he's exactly lighting it up. He's not necessarily playing bad. I just don't know that we're going to see the type of improvement that maybe some Eagles fans want.
Well, we're about to find out because I'm about to take you there live. Hurts was the most productive rushing quarterback in the league last year, but it was a different story as you see through the air. 61% completion, 26th in the league, third worst among non-rookie QBs. So that's where the questions begin, and now it feels like football because Sal Palantonio is live in Philadelphia. And Sal, if I were to sit here and say, now the Eagles have put together a pretty good-looking roster, this whole season is going to be about how good the quarterback really is. Would that be a reasonable way to approach the Eagles in 2022?
It absolutely is, Michael. This is a prove-it year for Jalen Hurts, and the expectations for this football team are through the roof. Check out this headline in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Birds winning it all, not out of the question. Winning it all as in going to the Super Bowl. This is not Eagles.com. This is my former newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, okay? So that's the most respected sports columnist in the city. So expectations for this team are through the roof. But there is a great unknown, great expectations, great unknown, and that is Jalen Hurts. The team made the playoffs in his first year as a full-time starter because it revolved around him as a runner. Now it must evolve as him as a passer. He was ranked 25th in the league last year. QBR, 25th in the league, as a pocket passer. That has to go up. That's right between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. That must go up this year if the Eagles are going to take the next step.
Absolutely. And so what signals are you getting early? Again, they make the huge acquisition. They have all the draft picks next year, so everyone knows it's sort of make or break. You know everyone inside that building. What signals are you getting about the early progress as they head to camp?
Well, the coaches are telling me three things they're looking at for Jalen Hurts early in training camp, Michael. Number one is the connection with the new wide receiver, A.J. Brown. They brought him here for a reason. As a true number one wide receiver, like they had with Alshon Jeffrey in the Super Bowl, like they had with T.O. in 2004 when Donovan McNabb and T.O. went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. Now they've got a number one wide receiver. That's the first thing. Number two, his mechanics. Remember, he went to California to work on his footwork in the spring. They want to see a firm, consistent base, deliver the ball accurately, consistently out of the pocket, especially now number three. They want to see improvement on third down. His completion percentage, 26th in the league last year, Michael, on third down. That must go up. Remember, the Eagles scored over 400 points last year, qualified for the playoffs. Cowboys, Bucks, and Rams scored over 500. You want to get to that rarefied air. You must improve. Points come out of the passing game, Michael, and that's where he has to improve this year.
There's just something about Sal Palantonio and a newspaper that makes me feel like all is well in the world. Sal, it is great to see you. Enjoy. We will check in with you regularly because that's a really interesting team this season. Sal, thank you. And so let me bring it out to the group here. And I'm going to play a little game called Change My Mind. And the Philadelphia Inquirer that he just pointed out there kind of emboldened me. I'm willing to go there.
Wow.
Pro Football Focus ranks all the teams' rosters, okay? And that's what they have the Dallas Cowboys roster ranked 16th in the sport. They have the Eagles roster ranked 7th in the sport. They have the Eagles having the number one offensive line in the sport. If Jalen Hurts takes a step forward, and he doesn't have to become, you know, Patrick Mahomes, but if he takes a step forward, I absolutely believe, Ryan Clark, the Eagles could win the NFC East this year. You want to change my mind?
Nope. I want to ride along with you. Fly, Eagles, fly. I'm ready to be listening to Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmares, pregame, any day, any Sunday, any weekend, because they are not, I don't believe they're going to win the NFC East. They are going to win the NFC East. Ooh. They're the best team in the NFC East, and I don't really think it's that close. You know why we even have it close? It's because we have to see Jalen Hurts develop as a passer. They've added things on the back end defensively. They also added A.J. Brown on the day of the draft with the trade. Jalen Hurts has been working on improving. We know what that run game is like. An excellent offensive line. And now you go get Jordan Davis and try to develop him as a one, two, three down player right next to Fletcher Cox. This team can absolutely be very good. This team can contend for an NFC championship. Does it rest on the right arm of their quarterback? Absolutely. But I believe in Jalen Hurts enough. And you heard what he said. He doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. I believe in him enough that this team beats the Dallas Cowboys for the NFC East Championship.
Okay. RC taking my point and taking it further. And I want everyone just to look at that. Cindy, put that back up there again if you would, because the teams, the two best teams we all think in that division, the Eagles and Cowboys, will play week 6. Look at where they may be in those first 5 weeks. Look at Dallas. They've got Tampa. They've got Cincinnati. They've got the Rams. In the meantime, the Eagles, we never know how good everyone's going to be, but the schedule looks a lot more favorable. I could see the Eagles getting off to a fast start, which gives you confidence with the young quarterback. Mike T, can I win you over on this?
No, I'm going to stick with the facts, which is sort of what Sal Palantonio alluded to, which is when Jalen Hurts has to get the ball down the field, when the ball's in the air 20 yards or more, he only completed 37.9% of his passes last year, which was 20th in the league, and that's not good enough. And if I know that, opposing defensive coordinators know that. So he's going to have to improve on his downfield accuracy. Now, one thing that A.J. Brown can do is he's excellent catch and run, so he can take a lot of the underneath passes, and there'll be a lot of explosive play. So while I love what they did in the offseason, I just think there's a big difference between Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts, and at the end of the day, that will be the difference between the Cowboys winning the division compared to your Eagles.
Yeah, that's fair. No one is suggesting that the Cowboys don't have the advantage at quarterback in that matchup, but that might be one of the very few advantages you have if you go up and down the rosters. What do you think, Darlington?
I just keep hearing you and Ryan say if with Jalen Hurts. If ifs were fifths, we'd all be drunk, but we're not. We're dealing instead with the fact that Jalen Hurts threw 16 touchdowns and 9 interceptions last year.
Yeah.
Is he going to make the type of improvement to put this roster, which you guys are rightfully gloating about, in a place where they can win the division? No, he's not. The Cowboys will win this division.
A, I love that expression. The if-ifs were that whole thing. I can never get it right, but I like it. RC, fight with him.
Well, here's why I'm fighting, right? I was listening to Tannenbaum talk about some of the stats of Jalen Hurts pushing the football down the field. Those statistics, I think, are actually better than Tua Tagovailoa. And all we do is sing his praises. He's the most accurate quarterback in the entire NFL. But no, Jalen Hurts, he can't get no better. It's only going to be Tua Tagovailoa. Come on, man. Cut it out. You add A.J. Brown. We've seen guys improve. We've seen quarterbacks develop more accuracy. You know, know, Mike Tannenbaum was just talking about Josh Allen and how much better he got from an accuracy standpoint. If you do the work, if you get the right players, you become better. Stephon Diggs changed who Josh Allen was. Let's never forget that. And now A.J. Brown can do something similar for Jalen Hurts. The other piece is he doesn't have to turn into Josh Allen. He doesn't have to turn into Patrick Mahomes. You need to be able to have a passing game when needed and when down and be able to threaten people down the field, and I believe he can do that.
I'm also a big fan of the offensive coaching there. Mid-season last year, they kind of changed up what they were doing and built it around the skill set of the quarterback. Let's see if they take that next step. It's a team to watch, and RC has emboldened me. All right, meanwhile, Darlington, let's run the hurry up through a bunch of other stuff. What's going on with Joe Burrow?
Yeah, let's talk about this. He's going to have an appendectomy. Has to take his appendix out. This is something that he obviously learned at an inopportune time, the start of training camp, but as those around him are saying, better than learning it at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. So not great. He'll miss a little bit of time. Brandon Allen and Jake Browning will take the quarterback reps in his place for now. Trey Lance, named the number one guy. I know this isn't necessarily a surprise to many. Kyle Shanahan all offseason not really going there because he wanted to create some trade opportunities for Jimmy Garoppolo. Ultimately, though, this team is exactly where they started the offseason, looking to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. The problem here is that there's not much of a market for him. The best they can hope for at this point is for something to happen in training camp, whether an injury or some unforeseen circumstance that allows them to make that trade. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones is a member of the Tampa Bay Bucks. This is a really good bridge for this wide receiver to get to the point where the Bucs have Chris Godwin healthy. That's the way they're viewing at this point. They understand that Julio Jones has not played more than 10 games each of the last two seasons. He deals with a lot of nagging injuries. But ultimately, if he can give them production early on to get some wins, think about that playoff season late in the season. This is a win for the Bucs.
Well, look, Twitter exploded yesterday when it was announced that Julio was going to Tampa, and I want to put a ribbon in that thought. Yeah. In fact, let's take a quick break on that. We're going to go live to Tampa in just a moment. You're going to see Tom Brady on the practice field. We'll have live pictures of that, and we will talk about what this man might just do for Brady. Can Julio recapture the magic and help lead the Bucs to the promised land? We'll take you there live next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We are back on Get Up, and as Tom Brady, who is rapidly approaching his 45th birthday, gets ready to start a new season in Tampa, we are showing you live pictures of the Buccaneers and their beginning of their training camp. That's Mike Evans, of course, star receiver. Brady has not yet taken the practice field as they've just gotten out there in the last 15 minutes or so. We'll certainly show you pictures of Brady as soon as he comes out there. But one way or another, they're getting set to work. And there was a pretty big day coming out of Tampa yesterday with the announcement of the signing of Julio Jones. Now, there was a moment in time, Ryan Clark, where we would have said, Julio Jones, oh my goodness, the Buccaneers now have the best offense in the league. Clearly, that is no longer the case here. So what exactly should we make of the fact that Julio is now together with Tom in Tampa?
This is a luxury deal, right? A luxury transaction. If we can get something out of Julio, it's what we call down here in the boot, lanyap, which means extra. They're not necessarily counting on Julio Jones to come out and be a number one or to be a number two receiver. What they're counting on that is if he's healthy and if he gets the right matchups against twos and threes in the secondary, that he's going to win those matchups. Now, we've also seen guys like Antonio Brown, who there were a ton of question marks about, obviously not health, but in other things, play a large part or a large role in winning a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. We've seen careers resurrected and narratives changed about this player and that player. Julio Jones needs to stay healthy. If Julio Jones is healthy and is on the field, he can create explosive plays. plays. He can't use his big body to catch 50-50 footballs. But I don't believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, and Todd Bowles are bringing him in to save the team. They're bringing him in because if they do get something out of Julio Jones, he creates a matchup problem and maybe gives the Mike Evans, the Russell Gages, and the run game a little extra oomph.
What you're seeing, of course, is Tom Brady now taking the field again. He'll be 45 years old next week, getting set for his 23rd NFL season. The greatest of all time is on the practice field live, and we'll just show you pictures as they get set to start their workout today. Mike T, I'll come to you. If you're the one making that transaction and you're trying to put together a roster around Tom Brady that he can take back to another Super Bowl championship, how are you viewing the acquisition of Julio Jones?
I love it. Julio Jones has such a great presence and has great physicality. And if I'm Tampa Bay, I don't need 17 games out of Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. He's just not that durable anymore. With that said, he can early in the season help hold the fort until Chris Godwin is healthy. And then when Gronk gets there by November 1st, when Tom Brady calls him up and Gronk says, okay, let's go, Julio Jones becomes a little bit more of a luxury. So I love this. They're cobbling together a really good skill set of players. And when Gronk's girlfriend and agent said he's coming back, I'm all on board on that train.
Well, that's another piece of this, Jeff Darlington. Right. You know, Gronk continues to say he's not coming back. Mike Tannenbaum doesn't believe it. Robert Griffin III is going to have to jump in the East River if he doesn't come back.
What
I don't
the
know.
River's like?
RG3 is not from here. He looked at it and said, well, the water looks blue. I said, well, it's real clean. So he's going to have some problems. What is the expectation amongst people you talk to about Gronk?
That he'll come back. Quite honestly, I mean, look, I think it makes sense that he would say all along, it takes the questions out of the equation, hey, I'm retired and all that he'll be back. You know, something that Ryan said, though, that really kind of perked me up when he was talking about the idea of this being a luxury. The one thing, and he brought up Antonio Brown, where the Bucs have to be careful is they brought Antonio Brown in as a luxury, and then they became dependent on him, and then he let them down. They have to be careful that if Julio Jones comes out of the gate and is healthy and is effective, that they don't allow him to become an integral part of the offense to where at the end of the season he lets them down. They have to still have their foundation in place with Russell Gage, with these other guys, so that they don't have the expectations on him.
And to be clear, I know you mean it in the way of if he gets hurt. He's not going to let them down in the same one would assume, not the same way that Antonio Brown did. But yes, and again, I just think we should take a moment to just consider what it is you're looking at. That's a 45-year-old man next week. I'm old enough to remember, and Tannenbaum, you'll remember, when George Blanda, we made a big deal about him in the 70s when he was still out there doing it, and he had played some quarterback. But basically, he was a kicker. Tom Brady is a player who is expected to play MVP-level quarterback in the National Football League at the age of 45 next week. We'll continue to show you pictures as he continues his workouts down there. In the meantime, let's go down here. Heather Dinich is with us this morning in our studio, and we call this HD because she always makes things crystal clear for us. And so let's start, Heather, as the college football season gets underway with the Heisman race. Where do we have our eyes as the season gets ready to start?
We have our eyes on two quarterbacks, Alabama's Bryce Young, who won it last year, Ohio State's C.J. Stroud. And to me, it's absolutely ridiculous that people don't think Young can win it again just because you don't usually win it 2 years in a row. But I like C.J. Stroud because he led the FBS in total QBR last year, and he's going to be back with so many playmakers around him. And he's going to be playing in one of the most important non-conference games of the season against Notre Dame. And this game matters because, according to ESPN's FPI, Notre Dame is favored to win all of its games except for Ohio State and Clemson. No two-loss team has ever made the playoff. That could be an elimination game.
So that's a critical matchup here. We're starting to show that one here. Let's talk about that. I'm not sure all college football fans have grasped that. Notre Dame-Ohio State, September 3rd.
That's right. And Ohio State has the best chance of any team in the country to reach the college football playoff. Notre Dame is fifth. That's a very painful place to be in a four-team playoff at 19%. They win that game, and this is an entirely different conversation for the Irish. But speaking of the Irish, Marcus Freeman is one of three new head coaches at big-time programs. So I was there this spring, had a chance to talk to him. The players are really believing in what he he's selling there, really buying in, but he's got a lot of work to do. Dude's a first-time head coach. And then we also have Lincoln Riley at USC, and he made a phenomenal use of the transfer portal, including Caleb Williams. There are high expectations, and there should be. And then finally, Brian Kelly at LSU. People are wondering if he's going to fit in there. Greeny, if you win, you fit. I don't care what phony accent you're kind of throwing out there, but the deal's going to be done if they can win some games and get back to
the playoffs. Yes, the most noteworthy thing, and we brought in our favorite LSU alum here. Oh, we have so many on this program. I can't choose favorites, but RC is certainly amongst them.
I got you.
Brian Kelly, the expectations maybe not quite as high for him in year one at LSU. Is that reasonable, or are those fighting words?
Yeah, no, we don't fight down here, Greeny. We're a peaceful people. All we want to do is eat crawfish and gumbo and have a good time. I met with Brian Kelly for about an hour his first week here. He gave me a call and we sat down and we talked about his vision for the kids as people and as humans. And here's the reason why we didn't talk about his vision for football. We grow football players, Greeny. We birth them. Dudes down here start playing football when they come out of the womb. Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu couldn't even hold a bottle when they could hold a football. That is what we do. Brian Kelly has already started to recruit tremendously. I don't care if he got a fake accent. I don't care if he got an accent from Boston, Massachusetts. I don't care what it is. People want to wear purple and gold. Here's the other thing. Brian Kelly can actually coach football. He's proven every school he's been, whether it's Cincy, Notre Dame, he understands the game and he can win. He's going to at some point have the most talented team he's ever had in this building. And here's my final thing. The last two coaches, the coach at LSU, won national championships. One of them was so terrible when he was at LSU, it got him fired from his current job. The other one was so bad, he got fired just for incompetence. I think we're going to be all right with winning games with Brian Kelly.
Well, and I think that's the point of it. I don't know how quickly it happens, Heather, but I do agree with him. At Notre Dame, look, it is a historically great program, but right now I think at LSU the recruiting is probably easier. The competition level is what it is. You got Alabama sitting there and Georgia now and the rest of it. But I think there is reason to think he will have his most talented teams down there pretty quickly.
But how quickly? I think what Marcus Freeman has at Notre Dame was a much more seamless transition. I go back to some of the players that Lincoln Riley got at USC. And guys, we can't forget that LSU had a Title IX investigation. There were so many off-field issues that Brian Kelly walked into that he had to clean up. We talked about them. I said, how real was that on your first day of the job? He said, oh, it was real. Our university president came in and said, made it very clear, this has to be a new era at LSU. So you take those off-field things, plus the time it takes to recruit those players, and I think he's a couple step behind those other guys.
We will see. Lincoln Riley on his way to the Big Ten at USC. We'll see how all those come together, and I believe we'll have Marcus Freeman in our studio here tomorrow, the head coach at Notre Dame. That should be fun. In the meantime, there was no fun to be had yesterday in Dallas. Jerry Jones confronting the biggest question on day one of Cowboys camp. Is he right about his coach and his team? We're talking about it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.